Otherwise, you should just see those fields that those old people worked so hard to grub and clear, and now they're all grown up to weeds. So it just makes your heart sick.
Are these two farms big ones that are left, or are they small?
Oh, there's lots of them all over there.
I mean, these two that are left, you say, with cattle.
Oh, yes, they're not too big farms, they are.
I don't think they have any big farms.
No, they don't have no big
farms.
All these here, people around there, like I said, used to have cattle, but they don't.
So are the people just gone?
No, there's some of them there, but they get work. They get a job for the forestry or somewhere like that. My son drives clear to Red Lake. He lives at Gilstead Lake, but he drives clear to Red Lake. He works for the welfare, you know. He works up there now with the Indians, but he drives back and forth. Mm-hmm. He used to drive to Bemidji.
Mm-hmm. Well, he gets a salary.
Yeah. So, oh, he don't try to farm. He just has his job. His job is that. But it's an awful long ways to drive.
Every day he goes.
Yeah, night and morning. Like I told him, why don't you get a trailer house and live in a trailer house?
Yeah. Some people stay all week and then come back.
Another thing too, you know. Well, when he started out, his car was paid for. But since then, that car wore out. Well, then he bought another one. Well, he got so much allowed for the old one, you know. But then he was paying for that other one that he bought. Well, by the time that was wore off, he had to have another one. So honestly, I know he's always paying on a car.
You're supposed to.
Oh, heavens no. That's what pretty near kills me. You know, Dennis always sends us to the bill. And I can't get used to that I can't pay my bill and be done with it. That it's there every month facing me, that light bill and the... telephone bill and the bottle gas and the oil, that just hits me.
Every month, yes.
Every month.
he took care of all the bills.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got married?
15.
Oh, yes. You got married early, huh?
Well, it wasn't in them days. All the girls, I think, got married pretty young.
So you hadn't had had you had a job working?
No,
yourself?
I just worked. I was just
in a hotel.
Yeah, I was just a common.
Well, that's a job, isn't it?
Sure. Job. Oh, I always could get work. You know, there's always somebody that needed someone.
You worked in a hotel there.
Mm-hmm. At Blackton.
Now, did you go to school to Madge, or was it your daughter?
No, it was my daughter that did.
Oh.
And my son that did.
Oh, I thought it was not that much age difference.
The first time we were in Hines, we went back, you know, they didn't carry us. But we were there about 3 years. And then all these young people, they were children. And now when I went back for a visit, all of these people were grown up and had families. And their families were grown up.
Uh-huh. Most of them were grandmothers.
And I was like a great grandmother. And so I can compare the Hines that we taught in with the Hines as I found it today. Mm-hmm. And Nana's been telling something about the Hines mm-hmm. that we taught in. And I want to tell a good deal more about the early life. It was so much more social. So much more doing, you know. Mm-hmm. We had, for instance, the women would have a hen party in the Hines, in the big home at Hines. And all the women of the neighborhood would stay, a slumber party,
A slumber party. You remember when you rode on Ruth's back? She said that you rode horseback on her back?
I guess so. I don't know what we did. We did everything. And duck
you stayed all night?
And had a lot to eat and just fooled around. And
had a good time.
We slept out on some of us slept out on their big porch and all over the place. I don't know how many bedrooms there are in that house. Somewhere around six, aren't there? Mm-hmm.
Whose house
was
that?
And then they had a big sleeping porch.
Hines.
On the second
floor. That was Hines himself.
And that is the Hines home. And There were no men around. I don't know what became of Mr. Hines.
I suppose he disappeared. He thought there was no place for him.
How did they get their money?
They run a first they homesteaded there. And then they built this big house, and they used to run a resort.
Oh.
In them days, people would come, you know, up from the city or Chicago, and they'd stay 2 weeks in one place.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, you know, they didn't have cars too much. Mm-hmm. They had some cars, but they'd stay, you know. So
and
there really was money in it.
Another thing
about
them.
So the town was named after him, then.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think about it. I want to finish about mm-hmm. them. And, of course, at those parties, we got all the folklore and the skeletons in the closets of the early day. And there was a lot of it, you know. And we got the story of it was a mysterious murder. We heard about it. And sometimes they got to talking about, I remember, they got to talking about the occult, the ghost, that were punishing somebody that had done wrong. I know there was a story of one man who had been pretty bad, and when he was dying, he looked towards the door, and there was the devil coming to get him. I never forget that.
Would you turn out all the lights? And then everybody would tell these ghost stories.
Well, I can't remember there were any lights.
We had any lights. It seems to me it was all dark.
All dark.
And Mrs. Hines, what is her first name?
Yes,
I can't remember. But Mrs. Page, I don't remember that.
Oh,
Mrs.
no,
Page
she never was there. With you.
Huh?
Mrs. Page wasn't with you.
No, I don't think she was.
No.
She was the one that wasn't. Mrs. Page. The Page family belonged to the Church of God, and they depended completely on prayer, and were very, very strict.
They didn't believe in a doctor nor medicine.
Oh.
Just praying.
Mm-hmm. Did they live well, all right?
Well, Mr. Page died with cancer, and he suffered something unmerciful. Then here not so long ago, a couple years ago or so, Mrs. Page died. They put it on her death certificate that she died with cancer. But I think that she died with gallbladder trouble, because it seemed to me like it was. She throwed up all the time, and it was just pure greed. But she died, and prayer wouldn't help her for it.
Maybe God took her, you know, they were going to pray.
But you said that she couldn't get a sedative fast enough.
No.
She
just begged for the nurse to come and give her a hypo, you know.
I wonder if she remembered that she had denied her husband that.
He suffered something terrible, you know. No doctor, no nothing, just
she
suffered it out.
He didn't have any?
No. She just prayed for him.
Another thing they had, I guess we've covered the party, maybe we can add to that sometime. Another thing they had in those days was a harvest festival. And I think we figured out that they had vegetables in 21 different kinds of dishes of vegetables, either fixed different or not, in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd they have the harvest festival?
In the
that
town
night?
Hall. In
oh,
the town
I guess
hall.
That was in the town hall.
Because I remember how Foxy Alice and I was.
Uh-huh.
I remember how Foxy Alice and I was. I canned chicken, and I, done different things. I made two pies. I made one for Alice and one for myself. It was the same dough, you know, but different filling. And the same with the chicken. I give her one can, and I kept one can. So if one of us might get a prize, don't you see? And you'd be surprised. It was the same darn thing, but, you know, under different names.
Uh-huh.
And probably she'd get the first prize on one thing, and it was the same thing as I'd get the second prize on, don't you see? And I got the prize on dark bread.
I didn't know they gave prizes at
oh,
the
yeah.
harvest festival.
Yes, they did.
I'd forgotten
everybody
that.
Brought their things.
Stuff, uh-huh.
I know they saved they had syrup, maple syrup, mm-hmm. that they'd saved from, and they had made their own maple syrup around there. Mm-hmm. Everybody
I've made a lot
syrup.
Of
that. That was really the forerunner of the fair, it must have been. The fairs came later. It was like
no,
a fair.
No, they had fairs. They've had fairs a long
They had
time.
It in Bemidji, the fair, but you see, there's a lot of the people around Hines and Emdes couldn't go to Bemidji
oh.
to the fair, so they kind of had their own,
well,
but
they
called it
that.
Different.
No, they had fairs. Way back when I taught in Akeley, they had fairs, and that was in 1905, beginning 1905, and this was in the 20s. And so they had these harvest festivals, and they had the churches had their Lady Day. I used to go to the Lady
They had
Aid.
A sale every fall, the Ladies' Aid?
Yeah.
You know, this
sale.
Is just the same in Shenandoah, the town where I was. They carry on all these same things there.
They do.
Even the box suppers that
uh-huh.
I remember when I was,
yeah.
you know, where, in Shenandoah, Iowa, where I was. They carry on all these things exactly. They even had May baskets on the handles of the doors, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we used to have these box suppers where
uh-huh.
the boys bid
yeah.
on your box
yeah.
without knowing who it was.
Oh, heck, you always told them who your box was.
Yeah.
And then somebody else would find out and they'd run that box high
right
up.
That was the idea.
Talking about box supper, I was in Staples when they had one of those box suppers.
Really
I wasn't teaching there. This was after my sister had her family. And her oldest boy, Danny,
mm-hmm.
had his box. And he ate with a little girl his size. But the thing I remember about it is they started at the with the dessert end, the cake and everything, and then they worked their way back
oh.
to the plain food. I don't know whether they have it there or not.
Well, I was surprised in Shenandoah. So many of the same things when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they have a pride in not using the mixes.
Mm-hmm.
The housewives won't speak to anybody who uses a mix.
Well,
I hate
mixes. I could very well fall into that category.
Well, it's a sort of a pride, you know,
mm-hmm.
in their own baking. And one woman makes is famous for a cookie, just like when I was a... It's amazing how it keeps on, isn't it?
And Thelma keeps lugging mixes into my house. I don't buy them myself.
Well, they seem to come out pretty good if you don't know how to bake. Like
oh.
me, I'm not a baker.
Well, to me, they don't have any flavor.
No.
You shut your eyes and you don't know what you're eating.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. And besides, it doesn't have the pleasure of beating and...
Well, I don't know about that.
You didn't care to beat.
Well, let's see. They had the fish fries.
Yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
brought
come again. Home? I guess it was at the hall.
What did the schools have? Did the schools have a?
Oh yes. Well, I can think of. I tell one thing. We had a Christmas festival.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this one especially because of the extreme religious nature. Of the place. And what was that? Oh, yes. And one of the teachers had costumes made, you know, where they were like dressed like, cherubs or something.
Angels.
Anyway, they had pants and all that. And Mrs. Hayford was perfectly horrified the fact that they had this costume
oh.
at the school. Oh, yes. She's very, very fussy about that. And they wouldn't.
But they...
They didn't like to have anything like that. That even smacked of theater.
Oh, they were so darn ornery there in Hines. You
yeah.
know, you couldn't go to a dance. You couldn't do anything if they... Especially if you was a teacher there, you wasn't allowed to go to a dance. You were supposed to always go to their Ladies' Aid and turn in your money, don't you?
Mm.
But you couldn't go out and have a good time.
And now, for instance, another thing, they wanted the campfire girls.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it. We had, I led the campfire. I'd done that in my other school. And we had quite a lot. Most of them were the same. But the Lutherans wouldn't.
No.
They wouldn't. They didn't want them to belong to the campfire girls. And when they had a union Easter service, and they had the Methodist bell, rang, but the Lutherans wouldn't let them ring their bell, their church bell. They couldn't ring it for the Easter service that we all had in the town hall, or were to have. But they didn't, you know.
No.
Oh, you had a united service. That was unusual.
We had a united service, the Church of God and the Methodists. I guess that's all there were there.
But the Lutherans didn't come.
No.
But now we have nothing.
Well, now you can tell them about the Lutherans now.
We just have the Lutheran Church. And you'd be surprised, there's just as many Methodists there as there's Lutherans.
They have no church.
No. But I wonder if the Lutherans had lost their church, if they would have come to ours, if ours would have been standing. I just wonder about that.
What happened? It burned down?
No. We got so few we couldn't keep it going.
But
you know?
there's another change that's gone. In their early days, the Methodist Church was a sort of a social center.
Mm-hmm. Everyone got started.
Everyone went to the whatever they had, and even to the service. They had the nice old kind old minister, Reverend Jewell. They have their ladies' aid. Tell how their ladies' aid has been restricted.
Well, it's this and way. You can't, you go there, you can't bring your children. They don't want you. If you have children, they don't want you because they don't want the noise.
Imagine.
And then, like I said, if you don't take your children, two ladies' aid and stuff with you, how are they going to know that they're supposed to go?
No.
We always took ours with us.
And tell about the food. We used to have a good supper.
A good supper it was, really. When we never went home and got any supper when we'd been to the aid because we always had plenty to eat. But now they have one thing, coffee and sandwiches or coffee and cake. That's all. They can only have two things.
Oh.
And then they go there and they all study the Bible. That's what they do at aid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see how it is. Each one thinks they are right. And it almost winds up with a fight. Because there's just, a few of them that wants to run the whole thing. And, well, like I said, I'm not going to the church to study my Bible. I can read it to home by myself where I can think.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I don't get the right answer, but maybe it suits me all right. But because I don't figure they're getting the right answer either.
Did you belong to the Lutheran?
No.
What church?
A Methodist.
Methodist. Well, where do all the Methodists go? Do they go to another town?
They go to the Lutheran church.
Oh, they do? They go to there?
We all go, every last one of us. And we have a very, very nice minister.
Oh, that's nice.
And some of these old ones, old people, a little bit older than I am, boy, how they like to find fault with that minister.
Mm.
You know.
Did I tell you before about Holman? That would come in here. Holman was the one that met me at the depot.
At the airport.
With Nina. And I hadn't seen him either. His wife was away visiting. So he took me home, and he's a neighbor to Nina.
Awfully good
one
neighbor.
Day he... I wish I could remember all
he's
the
one
that
I got the name to the river for.
He's really very interesting and a very individualistic person and doesn't take everything. And the funny thing is he does go to the Lutheran church once in a while. But he... Well, anyway, he was reading the Apocrypha. And when he'd asked us over to coffee one day. But he got to talking about the people that made up I think he was talking about the Nicene Creed. And he said, them stinkers get together and tell us what to think. He called them them stinkers. And I always have a vision of these old fathers of the church with their long beards.
They heard him call
pious ways. And did he call them stinks?
See, Madge is out in the kitchen visiting with him while he was making the coffee, and I went in and made up his bed, so his bed would be made up, but his wife was gone.
Oh, dear. And he said other things that I don't think I wrote. You know, he just won't accept anything.
Who were the lowest people in the town? I mean, you know, who were the victims? Like in towns in Iowa, the Poles were always. My grandmother used to hate Poles.
I don't think they had any.
You must have had somebody.
There were two layers of
people
of pioneers there. I think the Hineses and those that came from the east.
They were
American. I think they were the very first. And then it seems as if a colony of Swedes came along.
And they mostly come from Chicago.
I guess so. But anyway, they got along all right, pretty well. So. Of course, the Swedes brought the Lutheran Church.
Well, there was no Irish there, huh?
No.
No.
No Jews.
No, there weren't.
No Negroes.
Huh? No, we had some that tried it, but it was too cold there for them. They couldn't stand it.
I don't know. There was.
What did the Negroes come there
for? Yeah, there was a Negro family came in while we were there.
Well, they tried to have a settlement. Right. They tried to make a settlement, but like I say, it was too cold, and we didn't have work.
No work.
And
there
was the Carters, and they could be a story by themselves. I think I told you about them, though, about the old man Carter in Ten Strike who lived by himself. One of the Carters who told me one day, I met him in Black Duck, we were talking. Well, he says that young people these days, they don't learn one damn thing out of school. What they learn in school, they learn, but he says they can't learn one damn thing outside. And I think now that he was quite radical.
Yeah, he was. He was very radical.
From what I understand. But I didn't find it out then, because he didn't say anything more than that.
Well, were you and Oscar, were you socially conscious then, or did that come later?
Well, it came later in a way. In a way, I was always socially conscious because of North Dakota and the Nonpartisan League and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I actually had... I didn't understand capitalism, you know.
Who's the enemy?
And Oscar, I don't know. Oscar wasn't so political, very. But at the same time, he was always a rebel when it came to religion.
Oh, that's where it started with him.
Hadn't joined a church. Until we went to Minneapolis and finally he joined the Methodist Church there. And he has the Josephus, History of the Jews. Now, with me, I led the Harmony of the Gospels in college, you know, just the teachings of Jesus. And by the way, going back, my uncle, I can go farther back, on my mother's side, the people were very religious. I don't know whether I mentioned that they had to go out several Norwegian miles by boat to church. Mm-hmm. And there were 8 children. One week, one of the parents would take 4 of them. The other parents stayed at home, and while the people were in church, they'd read the Bible to the 4 at home. So they alternated that way, and they were very religious. They were brought up that way. And my father's family, it wasn't so important, but they went to.
Mm-hmm. Was your mother, did your mother keep up her religion? Did your mother keep up her religion all her life?
No, none of them did.
Oh.
And then I did mention the fact that why I wasn't confirmed, and that part of it. Then about that time, I guess I had learned to read and a little more. I was older. I must have been 12. And off and on, I'd be that my uncle would take me to Fargo, and I'd stay with him a while, which was quite a treat. But anyway, they had a set of Ingersoll there.
Oh.
So I read Ingersoll.
Oh, I.
I don't remember any of it except the mistakes of Moses.
Oh. He's wonderful to read, though.
Yes. But that is what I could comprehend. The fact that somebody'd have to eat I don't know how many chickens a day. You know, he figured it out how ridiculous it was. I can't remember the details. And so that's what my... That, they didn't keep it. My mother and father were... They went to the Lutheran church once in a great while, and they supported it. And if they had a kind of a festival or something for the church, we went. But it was 6 miles away, and I can't remember we went ever in the wintertime. Once in a while.
Oh, you didn't read the Bible either?
No.
That was a waste of time.
Well, it's good literature. I like the rhythm of it.
Yeah, I like it too. I even like the old gospel songs, although they
seem
to have one humanist idea in them. Yes,
there's not about love, in them.
But as you look at those old songs, they're all selfish. A mighty fortress is our God. They all pertain to yourself, don't they?
Well, yeah, but that is like, God be with you till we meet again, and work for the night is coming.
Work for the night is coming when man's work is done, But there isn't.
Shall we gather at the river?
Little brown church.
All pointed towards salvation or something.
Your private own salvation. Private salvation.
Yeah.
Yes, I must say that.
That you pretty much. But I like them.
Well, I belong to the Christian.
He had, you know, he would. But he had this Josephus history of the Essenes. And that is while I had led the harmony of the gospel. And as far as that, my religion was concerned, that was all there was to it. I liked the Bible, and I liked many parts of it. Wonderful literature and inspiring. I will lift up.
Tawdry, though, I mean.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that it was Oscar that found out that Jesus belonged to the Essenes.
Oh.
And that made Jesus a socialist. And in my later years, I didn't know that.
Where did he find that book? That's an unusual book.
I have it.
Where did Oscar get it?
I don't know where he got it.
It's a very unusual book.
It's a very the history of the Josephus.
I'd like to read it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have it. And he has some other books like that. He studied very much. And which to me puts, I always looked upon Jesus as the great teacher, and a Christian would have to try to follow his
teaching.
Precepts. Mm-hmm. And so that is all there was to my religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and they'll quote the Bible to you in many ways to show that he was God and he claimed to be God and all that. Well, all that may have been a misinterpretation through the translations. After all, we want to remember that the ruling classes translated all this.
And it's true that God is in all of us if he exists.
Yes.
That's what he is.
And,
you know, the Indians say that God is the thing that moves in you. They don't have any other word for God, except it's the what moves you is Wakanda.
All you have to do now is to believe in God. And I mentioned that at one of our ladies' aid meetings. I said that I couldn't understand why they don't say a little more about Jesus' teaching. They don't seem to say anything about it.
Mm-mm.
And that was when the President Eisenhower started the breakfast prayer meetings or whatever they were, or they did.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is to believe in God. And then they say you don't believe in God. Well, what is God? I can believe in God,
but
I don't believe in their God.
Yeah.
The soul of the universe?
Mm-hmm.
Or what? The life force of the universe? Whatever.
Where did you meet Oscar?
I talked with him. I went to, we both went new to teach in Eastway in 1905, the fall of 1905. He was superintendent and I was high school principal.
Oh, Akeley, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And that would come into my teaching days. I was there 4 years and Oscar stayed on. He went with one of the teachers. He never went with me.
All about 4 years?
Most of the time. But he didn't marry her either.
Oh.
He married his old sweetheart back in Minneapolis, finally. And then I left there.
Oh, you knew him before he got married, the first time?
Oh, yes, I knew him.
Oh,
I was a teacher with. I taught with him 4 years. And then I went and taught in Newburgh, Oregon. But I stayed there only 1 year because my father wasn't well and I came back. And our ways didn't meet until after he lost his first wife.
I didn't know that. You knew him before.
And then.
How long had you been teaching before you went to Akeley?
To Akeley? I graduated in 1903. I'd have been.
Oh, you haven't been teaching long.
1903. I hadn't been teaching long then. I was young then. That was a lumber town. Grand. Very lively.
Mm-hmm.
They had roller skating and went there every night that we didn't go to a dance or something.
No wonder she didn't get no sizes.
Well, can we tell everything about Hines now and your relationship?
Now, wait a minute. Now, I...
And your relationship.
There's something more. I found out when I went back what had become to all of these people. Now, a little story. Now there is Millicent Owen. Of course, Millicent didn't go to school to me, but she had been married and I guess had one or two children. And Nina tells about her having 13 children and how they grew up. I wish Nina had described that
13
family.
Children.
Tell how they grew up.
They all grew up in lines.
Tell about keeping those borders and having to pray.
Oh, that's too much work.
Did she raise them
herself? Well, anyway, suppose you describe. Can you describe them? Kids, the family?
Did her husband, did she have to feed them all or run a boarding house? Or?
No, they lived out past us in the later years. And they had an awfully kind of a hard time. And all she could think of was she wanted her children to be ministers or, you know, she wanted them to be religious. And they had cows, of course. Her husband, he used to come over to Dennis, and Dennis used to cut his hair. And he used to tell Dennis all his troubles. And he said lots of times, he said, when I got done with my chores, to go to bed, he says, or sit down and read. But he says, Millicent always has to go to church somewhere. She wasn't satisfied in Hines, but she went to Black Duck in the 13-mile corner and all over. They had a station wagon, and you see, they just had it filled with kids.
And they'd go to church.
And they would go to church. Well, then one of them went away to some kind of a... Well, just as soon as they got old enough so they could, you know, they'd leave home. But Millicent always tried to get them some kind of a religious job if she could. Well, this one went out to go to school, and I think he was coming home or something. Anyhow, he had a boy in with him. And when
hit the railroad track while the train come along and, of course, hit them. Riding with him, oh, he got crippled up terrible. But the Evans boy, he didn't. So Millicent said, you know, that God had saved him.
Could you give me a drink or something?
What?
Anything.
That God had saved him, you know. But she didn't say anything.
Do you need a little coffee? Excuse me. I feel dizzy.
Oh, she didn't say anything about the other boy that was so terrible, badly crippled. And then Miles come over and he told Ennis he had to get his hair cut. He said, you know, he said, I have 5 nice heifers, 2 years old. I was saving for cows. But, you know, he says, I have to ship them because I got to have the money because, you see, he had to have it to pay for this boy that was so terrible, badly crippled. He had to pay the hospital bill.
Mm.
So that was an awful blow.
Yeah, but what I want is a description of that family. You know, you described them so well. You told about how Doris, why, she loved them all. No,
Dirk, no?
Yeah, there were those kids. Snotty noses.
Shitty
dirty
tramp.
Faces. What the?
Who was Doris?
That was the aunt. That was one of Millicent's sisters. She had 2 sisters almost the same age. And the one of them, she'd come in, and all these little kids, you know, it's just 1 year apart. Maybe not that. And Doris, she would love them. Snotty noses and dirty pants and all. Then Louise, she'd come along. Louise come along. She was another aunt. But she always brought the wash rag along with a wick. And golly, she would wipe those kids off slick as a whistle.
Well, the thing she reached for was the wash rag.
She brought it, he said.
Yes. And then Doris, this one that loved them so, she had 13 kids of her own.
Oh.
And her husband was a barber. And I often wondered how they made ends meet. He worked in Bemidji. And do you know she's about the same age as my daughter? And I bet you she looks 10 or 15 years younger than Alice.
Well,
she hasn't got a gray hair in her head.
She's the one that went to school to me.
Mm-hmm.
And did I tell this? And one lovely spring morn day, we were reading that poem, Now As Ever Come in the Spring, you know.
Uh-huh.
Now heaven tries earth to be
in tune and over
now
softly and warm. Year late.
Yes, that started Doris, and she looked out at the blue sky, and we were all of us wanting to go to sleep or something, get out. And she said, it must be awfully tiresome to be there all the time. Oh, that's Doris. She's a very pretty girl.
Well, how did they all come out?
And I hear that a Collison girl, that gave the tea for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and she wrote in a letter, next time I'll have Doris out. I forgot to.
Mm-hmm.
She says she's a very different person from what she was when you knew her, meaning she is not religious.
Oh. What happened to all the children?
Them children all grew up, and they all got an education.
They did?
And they, most all of them got some kind of a religious work. There's a couple of them that's been across over in Africa's missionaries, and there's one out here that works with the Indians off Flagstaff, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Millicent tells you that she was a missionary, but she didn't start out as a missionary. She just started out as a plain worker, but maybe she has got up higher now.
They all sent themselves to school? And
well, Millicent helped them, and Elmer helped them, and Clifford helped them, that's her brothers. Her brothers all helped every last one of them. You know, Elmer's awful big-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
He had his own family, but Elmer is the kind that always all deals in things and gets a little extra money.
I told Elmer.
Dealer.
Elmer went to school to me. Now he is pretty much the big man in the town, the property owner.
Yeah, and he's the mail carrier.
Anyway, when he came to that tea, and I told him the story, I said, maybe you didn't think I noticed this. I said, but you should be getting along. I'm sure, I thought you would be sure to get along because you knew how to economize your time.
Oh.
I told him, I said, just about 5-10 minutes
before school was out at noon, he'd leave the room. And he'd come back, and his hands would be washed, and his hair all wet and combed back, and he'd be all set so that he wouldn't have to use any of his noon hour doing anything like that. And I knew him about it. And he did that. He did that all the time.
Oh, that village life was a pretty good life to raise. People
it really
came out
was.
Well, you think, in the long run.
I think so.
Oh, thank you, Lila. I feel dizzy or something.
I think that it was a good life there to raise our children.
Oh, it
we
was
didn't
a
have
good
no
life.
Money, and,
it
and
was.
Times were so hard. And like with Alice and Darce and Vera and Cliff and all of those young folks, they'd go over back on that hill. They had a toboggan or two, and they'd slide all Sunday afternoon. And then they'd come home either to our place or to Clarence's or to Owens's. And
I thought about Saunders, didn't I? Now that he came to see me, supposedly, well, did I tell you that before? That ought to go in.
You told that, and you know she won't miss that for anything.
Well, anyway, there was the Saunders family, a very, very live family. J.D. Saunders, I don't know what J.D. stands for at all. It was always J.D. And he was always doing something. He finding something to do, whether it is to go and get some sheep and sell them somewhere else, or
haul some wood,
or cattle,
or
so
anything.
On.
Tell
and
him whether
he
could always he
no
get an odd job.
He had no sense of time. He would, that is, he seemed not to have.
Do you want
because
to
if he wanted to,
Merida?
No, this is good.
Huh?
I've used my eyes too much lately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm all right.
If Oscar and I'd wake up, and at midnight, we'd hear the jangle of a sleigh or something.
Call bell.
J.D. Saunders jogging along, going someplace.
Make a deal.
And, you know, well, I kind of hooked it along. And when I came back here, I was wondering, in the meantime, he lost his wife, a very nice, refined woman. Oh, he was, too. They had come to see us in the city, J.D. and I think his daughter. So I'd had a visit to see them, but hadn't seen them for a long time. And here, J.D. was living alone. He'd lost his son lately, living in Bemidji. And here, of course, the same thing. He didn't come in the afternoon. He came for breakfast. To Nina's to see us.
The funny part of it was, well, now you wait. She said, you wait. She said the night before, I sure wish I could see J.D.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, there's no way I can get a hold of him. I said, if he lived on the farm, I said I could call him or I could send him a letter. But he lives in Bemidji and I don't know where. So when we was eating our breakfast, someone knocked and I wondered who in God's world it was. Because I tell you, Dennis hadn't been gone so long and they was after me all the time to buy a marker. There was someone either at the front door or the back door all the time. And so I thought that's who it was. So I went down and by gosh, it sure didn't stand old J.D.
Well, he'd heard that I was there.
And he was all dolled up and it's very fast.
But we had a nice visit and he had a cup of coffee and breakfast. But I noticed that his eyes were on Nina all the time.
Well, he was just
and,
wondering.
I thought, well, maybe I was an excuse for him to come and see Nina.
But she's got to come back again because old J.D. hasn't been there since.
Oh.
Well, maybe I'll bring him again.
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell the story. You don't tell him like you did at first.
Well,
anyway.
You can't prime the pump.
Nina tells this story about Clarence Carlson, who was the carpenter of the community, and her husband Dennis standing around helping him, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and J.D. advising him, telling them what to do, which was pretty often done by J.D. Well, anyway, they thought, Clarence thought J.D. had gone. But he's still there.
And Clarence says, well, that J.D. doesn't have the brains of a shithouse rat.
He looks down and
sees. Well, now, this is the best part of it. There was J.D. standing. And Dennis said, is that so, J.D.? He said, yeah, I guess so.
He didn't know what Clarence had said. I told Clarence's wife, I said, you know, it's funny. I said, Clarence and Dennis are both gone, but the shithouse rat is still running.
Oh. Well, who turned out to be the delinquents? Did you have delinquent children there, or criminals? What kind of criminals did the town produce?
Well, I would say the only delinquency was maybe drinking too much.
Drinking was there.
There wasn't anyone otherwise.
I don't think so.
There's one of the page boys that just was alcoholic. He's a very good barber, and he has quit. He told her.
Yeah.
But I guess they say his brother drinks.
Yeah, they say David is an alcoholic person.
And then that one of the Holman boy, but still he keeps his job all the time.
He's out west, but he keeps his job.
Yeah. I guess the only thing is drinking,
mm-hmm.
from anything I've heard.
Well, drinking was part of the frontier, I guess it could stand it.
Oh, it's really a quiet, very quiet place, you know.
My
And his kids, every one of them, none of them could get away from him fast enough. No. They hated their father.
No.
I know when one of the girls came in and stayed overnight with us. She was going away to work or something. And she said it right out. I had to get away, their mother.
How was Mrs. Miller? Was she interested in Carrie Nation? She had the book?
No, she had it. They must have come from Kansas or something.
I don't think she could really say her soul was her own.
But they were very religious that way.
Mm-hmm.
And WCTU people and all that. I don't know what church. But I intended to give that, to Alice, to the WCTU Center. I'm glad I didn't give it to them.
Well, I didn't know there was an autobiography.
I can't believe
it, even.
I have it. I know I have it, yes.
I know there's several biographies.
And I'll see that maybe you can have it for that matter.
No, I don't want it. I just want to read
but
it.
But I want to see it. Read it.
Her granddaughter wanted me to write a book about her, about Carrie Nation. Her granddaughter.
Maybe she doesn't know about it.
Well, I can't understand it. She didn't tell me that or give it to me.
It's quite a book.
She has letters from her grandmother, you know. And,
Well, I wonder if her granddaughter doesn't happen to know.
It might be possible.
Because she tells there about how she was thrown in prison and lousy with other lousy, dirty people, and people swearing and all that. Oh, she had an awful life. You know, that way.
They tried to put her in an insane asylum. They
put
her in, I think. Yeah, she was a great woman.
She really was. She wrote well.
Is your head any better?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was hungry. I'm thirsty.
Well, that can go into my, from the Millers. They had a Life of Carrie Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Something about her. Because that was in her day, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think she's still living. I don't know.
No, she's not.
No, she's not living now.
She's not living because, I heard it from Marion's mother. Marion's mother kind of.
Is that the period when you taught more than one class?
Eighth grade and the first two grades of high school. That's 10th grade school. And Oscar was the principal.
How many did you teach? How many grades did you teach?
We didn't teach by grades.
Oh.
The 8th grades. Oscar and I divided the upper, the 7th, 8th, and 9th and 10th grades. And he taught the mathematics and the science. And I taught history and English. And the reading, you know, and the literature and the history.
Uh-huh.
And then there were
Four. Four. How many teachers were there? Well, there was a first, second, third. There were four teachers besides that.
That was a pretty good school.
Yeah, it was a pretty good school, although we had been used to being in larger schools all the time. But on account of his health, he had to take the smaller schools. He had trouble with his back, and they finally called it TB.
Oh.
But he got over it.
How'd you get over it?
Just living. he did wear, they had a brace for him, and he couldn't stand the brace. And of course, he could live easily summer vacation, you know, and then the smaller schools were much easier. And he rested and went around. He got over it. He finally found a belt that was real good. So he got better. His back is always a little stiff.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, he's pretty good. Well, and then there was a community, which I think I've described pretty well. There were the Swedes, and there were the early Americans that were there at the first. They were the first settlers in northern Minnesota. Now, coming back to the schools, well, we had the course of study for Minnesota, and we followed it and tried textbooks and so on. And it just seems to me there wasn't anything that stood up.
Did you have any delinquents in your school?
No.
None?
I mentioned that we did not. I, in all my teaching, I can't think that I've had any real problem kids. But of course, I taught.
They didn't show it.
I taught, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Before.
Everybody was pretty cowed.
Yeah. Their parents took care of them.
Yeah.
But they weren't that exactly. They didn't conform too much either. You take this Elmer Owen and some of the rest of them. They like to do things independent, but I don't know. It's just a pattern of living with the school.
Well, there was some place for the hippies to go. They often left home. I mean, like in the Middle West, people were always wandering. My grandmother's sons, mm-hmm. They were always going to to Alaska. She had a whole trunk full of postal cards.
Well,
dear Mom, wish you were here.
I think they had that there, too.
Yeah, that's what I say. There must have, they couldn't have all just been conformists. Oh, that I like that.
I don't know that.
Good, wonderful.
Well, the kids were busy, and there was so much
religion
that they did have to conform to.
Feel better?
There was that. Now, there were some problems with the girls. Being kind of boy crazy. And
I remember
once in a while, there was an accident, an illegitimate child, not much.
Not much? Really?
No, not too much.
They must have hidden it well. I lived in a town in Oklahoma when I was in the eighth grade.
Yeah?
We had about four or five babies that came to
school.
They
didn't do that in the eighth.
They hid them. They went to the city and had them and didn't and came back and just took a trip to their aunt.
In that whole school, I can think of only one.
Quimby.
Only one I think of. Were there any others?
I don't think of any.
I don't think so.
They hid them.
No, they couldn't.
Oh, now, come on. They always had a doctor who gave abortions in little towns. There's always one. You may not know about it, but there always is.
Well, that did not happen there. Because we knew everybody. Hey, listen, there was another one among the grown-ups, and that was the Jameson girl. She had babies.
Yeah.
But she was growing up, and I guess she had
gotten married
before they came there.
Didn't she get married?
She got married, but
you
she
probably
didn't
had
marry the father
they
to
married.
The child.
No, I know it wasn't. It wasn't the father to the child that
no.
she married. No,
but that is it. That
I can't believe you had such a great, pure village.
But of the pupils that went to us during that time, I think of only this one girl.
That's the only one I know of, is Ruth Quimby.
Except Edna Saunders, and she married.
before the baby was born.
Mm-hmm. Did Edna come back, bring her baby back and raise it? Or what?
Oh, she had it right there. She got married, had her baby, and stayed right there. He was janitor for many, many years at the school, her husband.
Oh, the one, that, Edna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, she married him then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, she married him. They were married right before the baby was born. Mm-hmm. But,
all right,
you
yeah.
know, this is a small community. And I don't know. I don't know what has happened later either. They grew up and
left.
Most of them left. Some of them are back. Well, now in regard to the classes, as I said, we follow the course of study and so on. I might mention one thing. That is so short a time after the Russian Revolution. And we didn't know very much about it.
Is this about 1920 now? We're
mm-hmm.
at
a little after, 25 or so.
Oh.
And they hadn't developed the antagonism to the revolution that
mm-hmm.
came later. They hadn't gotten around to.
Well, you know that in 22, all that region around North Dakota, they sent 12 tractors to the Soviet Union in 1922 from North Dakota.
They sent what?
12 tractors, loads of wheat. Did you know
mm-hmm.
about that then?
Well, I knew that they...
You heard about that.
Yeah, I knew they were doing that. And
then some men went, some farmers went with it to show them how to use
mm-hmm.
the tractor.
And they shipped cattle also over there, didn't they?
I didn't know that, but I...
Seems to me like they did.
They were having a big
mm-hmm.
famine
mm-hmm.
then.
Oh, yeah.
But they must have collected a lot of money in North Dakota to collect this.
Well, don't you see? There's a lot of those people that had come from Germany, or some of their relation was still over there. That's why, because I know a fellow in Black Desert. He was
you
a
mean
baker.
In Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So
and his mother was in Germany, and his brother was in the German army. And you know, during that war, he pretty near went wild over it.
Oh, he was so torn.
Yeah.
Yes, it was terrible.
And, you know, he said his mother couldn't handle coffee, and she'd always had coffee, and he felt so bad over it.
Well, they were terrible to the Germans in Minnesota and North Dakota. They painted
that
their barns yellow.
That was in World War One.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But
World
that was rather a different setup.
Yeah, I was just talking
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm. Well, coming back to the classes, I taught English, and... I don't know. I might mention some of the ways instead of trying to get interest. And I think we got it pretty well good.
Did they have a law that you had to go to school?
Yes.
Then you had to go to school.
They had to go.
Huh?
Second page.
The second one. Uh-huh.
They had to go
till they were 16, didn't they?
Until they were 16,
oh,
as
yes.
I remember. Or, yeah.
It was the law.
They had to finish eighth grade.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, or till they were through the eighth grade.
Yes, and something mm-hmm. like that. Now, in teaching English, we had the classics. We had the Old Testament literature, a nice little, and studied it as literature.
Uh-huh.
And that went very well, because we had small classes, and didn't have the large classes in the high school, so a teacher could sit down and talk things over with them, and you could do this. You could have them read the passages that they liked,
uh-huh.
and you would bring out certain passages. With the result, one day, towards the end of The Lady of the Lake, for instance, I asked the whole class, how did they like it, and what did they like? And all of them said they liked it, but I asked Eloise Hayford,
mm-hmm.
that's the older girl,
mm-hmm.
I said, she didn't understand it. I knew she didn't, but I put it this way. I said, you had sort of a hard time with it now and then, didn't you, Eloise? Well, she said, I liked the sound of it anyway.
that was good.
That satisfied me.
Uh-huh.
I don't think she was too bright, was she?
Oh, not in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did you study about in American literature? Was it all a bit English?
Don't ask me. I don't think fast enough.
Well, I was very upset when I was in...
But we did have
more. We always took English literature instead of American literature.
Yes. I can't think.
And it wasn't about anything that I knew anything
about. We had Longfellow, I know.
Yeah.
I always insisted on Longfellow. And my selections of poetry, especially in the readers. We had the readers, too, for the upper grade.
Mm-hmm. Whittier, like, Snowbound was the first thing I ever read that was anything that I knew anything about. I didn't know anything about British life.
And now, for instance, when we read Silas Marner, I did this once in a while when I felt like it and wanted to work, because it was quite a bit of work to read their themes, to get them to write. I'd have them write the maybe a different ending to a story or a different change the book a little bit the way they would like to have it. And so that made the kids...
The paper.
On the table, that's special.
And when they could correct it, or as they thought, correct it or write it the way they wanted to, they'd write reams and books and all kinds of stuff.
And about what they knew.
Yeah, what they thought. Now, for instance, in Silas Marner, I asked them to write what had become of this guy that had betrayed Silas, you know, and so on. What had become of him? Well, you ought to see the stacks of literature I got from that. They had him burned up, and they had him fall in a ditch, and they had
him dead
sick and die by inches. I don't know what they did to have done to him. They certainly got him straight. And one way that worked pretty good in history was I had a setup that they had a minimum of work they had to do. They had to learn just that. That is according to the course of study.
Mm-hmm.
They would get a grade of 75.
That would
and
pass
then
them.
I had reference reading. If they'd read all that and pass either oral or a little written test, they had certain books they had to read. That would bring up their grade to 85, about 3 degrees, until they could get between 95.
Did you have a library there?
Yeah.
Public library?
We had a good library.
A Carnegie library?
No, just a school library.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you that. And so, but it was surprising. They had a lot of freedom. That when they had their minimum, then they could walk around and pick out the books and read as they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a job for a teacher, you know. You had to test them almost individually.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd get good marks. Well, that made them pretty anxious to get their history. The ones that wanted just the minimum, they were anxious to get rid of that and get done with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good system.
And it worked out good.
Was that your system, or was that the general
school? No, it was mine. In regard to the school library, they had the state education department have a list of books, or did have then, from which you could choose, and then you would get state aid for those books.
Oh.
So the books were sort of censored
mm-hmm.
by the State Department.
Mm-hmm.
But we could get, it was pretty good setup. It was all right. I suppose it all depended on the State Department. I don't suppose. Well, they had just a general run of books, classics and biography. Of course, it was all within the capitalist orbit.
Yeah.
But they had quite a selection, and poetry, a lot of poetry. And
one of the injuries of education at that time was that you didn't learn about your own region enough. You didn't, you know, you didn't know
no.
the culture or find it was important or rich, you know.
You had to learn your own region by living here.
Well, people,
and
that's what made a lot of that generation of 25. That was when I left and went to New York. They left if they possibly could.
They what?
They left. They went to New York. Anybody
yes.
that was brains or skill and, you know, went away. Because
well, that's what aren't you.
But I don't know. Those people there, many of them stayed right on.
I know
they did. Those pupils. Now, I go back to Hines, and there they are. Mm-hmm. The old folks have lived there until they died, most of them, some have gone. And the younger people, the children that went to me are the old folks now.
Your students are still there.
They're the old folks now.
And let's see. There are the Quimby girls married and living around. There is Hannah Freeburg. Of course, some of them have gone.
They're not too far away. Mm-hmm.
And then they've gone to Bemidji. Quite a few of them mm-hmm. are in Bemidji. And what's her name? You know, the one that had a key for me.
Vera?
Vera.
Collison?
Vera Collison is still living there. And she...